is the auspicious occasion of Dasera. It is the day of victory of the Lord over the forces of illusion. It was on this auspicious occasion that Lord Sri Ramchandra, the great avatar of Sri Krishna, defeated Ravana in battle. The devatas and the devotees prayed to Lord Ram to appear in this world to free them from this great demon, Rakshasa, named Ravana. Ravana caused great suffering to everyone in this world. In the same way, ignorance of our eternal relationship with God impels us to try to exploit the property of God. And through that process, we become entangled in the laws of karma, and this creates the threefold miseries, Ariyatmaka, Aridaivaka, Aribhodaka. And at the time of death, these natural attachments which we have conditioned ourselves to throughout our life appear as our last thought. And again, we have to take another birth within the 8,400,000 species of life, according to the particular type of karmic entanglement we have created in our previous life. Suffering is due to birth, old age, disease, and death. And this repetition of birth, old age, disease, and death is a result of trying to lord it over material nature. But real peace, real happiness comes through the process of renunciation. Real renunciation means that everything is for Krishna's pleasure. Everything belongs to Krishna. So let me not claim anything for my own. Let me not enjoy, but let me strive in my life to be enjoyed by Krishna by being his humble servant. It is very difficult because the force of ignorance empowered by Maya herself is so powerful that even if we want to relieve ourselves of the suffering of material consciousness, it is practically impossible to do so. The demigods and the devotees understood that they were under the power of the grip of Ravana. And therefore they prayed to Ram. They prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to descend, because he is the only one who has the power to destroy and to create victory over the forces of ignorance and forgetfulness. And the Lord always hears the prayers of his devotees. So Lord Sri Ram descended, and along with his devotees, Hanuman, Sugriva, Jambavan, Nila, and so many others, they fought the great war in Sri Lanka. And Ravana, he was so great, he defeated even Indra. The power of Maya is so great that none of the demigods can help us out of this entanglement. This is evidence. We can get material benedictions from the demigods, but we cannot get from them freedom from ignorance and suffering. Because the great demon of ignorance, Ravana, defeated even Indra, the king of the heavens. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu, he had all the demigods below Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva as his own servants. They were so frightened of his powers. And the powers he had were just reflections of the supreme material power of Maya. So by worshipping the demigods, we cannot be successful in life. Only Krishna is superior to Maya. Krishna Surya Sa Maya Haya Andhakara. Where there is Krishna, Maya cannot stand. Daivihe Shukunamayi Mama Maya Adurati Mam Evam Yitrapachinte Mayam Etadarandati. Those who surrender to Krishna can easily go beyond the suffering of the three modes of material nature. By no other means is it possible. Not by our own endeavors, not by the help of our ancestors, not by the help of the scholars and the scientists of this world who all have mortal, fragile existences. Not even by the greatest of the demigods, but only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself has that power to free us from Maya. And we must surrender to the Lord in order to induce the power of His mercy. And this Krishna consciousness movement is teaching the world how to surrender to Krishna. Because He has descended in this age of Kali Yuga in His name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna. And in this age of Kali, there is no other way to receive the shelter of the Lord than through the chanting of His name. Harinama, 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 Eva Keva. Kalonasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranga. Thus, the holy name is our only shelter. Thakur Bhakti Vinod prayed, in all the 14 planetary systems, I have found no other shelter than the holy name of Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has prayed, Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Let there be victory to all those who take shelter of the congregational chanting of the holy name. Dasera is the day of victory. The day when the whole world is meant to remember the goal of life. And the goal of life is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And thus invoke His mercy to conquer the ignorance within our own life and within the world. And that victory is available to anyone who learns the proper process of humbly chanting the holy names of the Lord. And this is the true meaning of renunciation. To reject whatever is unfavorable to the discharge of our devotional service. And to accept whatever is favorable to help us to take shelter of the Lord. And those in the renounced order of life are those who have put aside all the most prominent distractions of this material existence. हूँ शास्त्रीय मायुतनी भाव में थाम थयोरमित हृदय ग्रंथि महु अहो अहो गृह क्षेत्र सुताप्ति दथाय जनास्य मोहोयम अहम मने. The misconceptions that I am this body and those things in relationship to this body are mine are the greatest sources of entanglement and illusion in this world. I am the servant of Krishna, and the only thing that is mine is the opportunity to give my life in His service. That is knowledge. Those who are willing to give up the entanglement of family life, because family life is the greatest pleasure in material existence. The relationship between a male and a female is the greatest source of material pleasure, and it is also the greatest source of material bondage. Through that infatuation, that intoxication, that addiction, so many byproducts of material attachments come into being. We become attached not only to the form and to the charms of a young lady, or later on an old lady, but also we need a nice home to take care of her, and then children will come, and all of these things. The Grihastha ashram is glorious if it is performed in such a way that the wife, the husband, the children, everyone are centering their lives in Krishna's service. One can perfect one's life and go back to Godhead through that process. But one who is willing to put that aside, to concentrate all one's energies, all one's efforts into preaching the message of the Lord and performing His sadhana, that is the greatest sacrifice there is. And those who aspire to take this sacrifice are very rare souls. Today is the appearance of Sri Madhavacharya, who is one of the greatest of all sannyasis. He is the founder acharya of the Madhva Sampradaya, in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally accepted Diksha through Ishwarapuri, who was the disciple of Madhavendrapuri. The father of Madhvacharya was known as Madhyageha, and he had no children for many, many years. And he actually performed for a long time a great yajna and did much fasting. He would walk long, long distances to the temple and perform all sorts of austerities in order to have a child. And by the grace of the Lord, he finally had a son, who he named Vasudeva. And this son was so beautiful, so charming, so learned, so spiritually inclined, that naturally his father and mother, their whole world revolved only around their son Vasudeva. They knew nothing else. They wanted nothing else. If Vasudeva is happy, we are happy. And he was such a nice son that he helped his father in so many ways. There is the story when his father was in debt, and the person who he was in debt to came to his house, and he said, "I will not leave this place until you pay me, and I will not eat your food until you pay me." And according to the Brahminical culture, you cannot eat unless your guests eat. So in this way, everyone in the house had to fast, and they didn't know what to do. He had no money. So the son, so faithful, in the mood of service to his father, took tamarind seeds and transformed them into gold coins and gave them to this man. And that tree is still there today, Ajaka-kshetra. And when he went to school, he was so scholarly and so submissive. And his parents were so proud of him. But then when he graduated from his school at 12 years old, he decided, I will take sannyas, and I will find guru who will give me sannyas. So he went from Pajaka-kshetra to Udupi, and in Udupi he found one very, very great sannyasi named Achyuta Preksha. And Achyuta Preksha was so happy to receive such a student. In fact, he prayed to the Lord to have an illustrious disciple. And the Lord indicated to him through a pujari who was worshipping the deity at the time of puja that you will have a glorious, illustrious disciple. And when he saw this young Vasudev, he became very happy. He was thinking, this is the person that the Lord is sending. And Madhvacharya immediately became brahmacharya. And he wanted to immediately take sannyas. But his teacher wanted to train him for some time. So he was living in the brahmacharya ashram. But his poor father, so many days were gone, and Vasudev did not return home. Where could he be? So he was looking everywhere. He came to Udupi, and he was looking through all the monasteries and all the ashrams and all the mats and all the temples. And there he saw in the mat of Achyuta Preksha, his little 12-year-old boy, very seriously studying the scriptures and worshipping the Lord. And he said, you come home. And Vasudev, who later became Madhvacharya, he said, I am not coming home. I am staying here. Not only that, I am going to take sannyas. And his father, it was hard enough to think of him as a brahmacharya. And his father began to weep and to cry. And as he was weeping and crying, he was begging, he was appealing with all of his heart that you must come home. And Madhva was very resolute. He said, I will not go home. I will take to the life of asceticism. And then his father became very angry. And then he threatened to commit suicide. And then he fell at the feet of his son and begged him, come home, weeping and crying. And Madhva said, this is a prophecy. Because never does a man senior in age bow down to a young man unless he is a sannyasi. So the father, unable to change him, he went home and told the mother. And together the mother and father were weeping and crying, heartbroken. And they tried to somehow or other tolerate it. But days went by and the void within their heart was impossible to bear. They could not tolerate it. They tried the best they could. And then Madhya Geha went back to the ashram to try again. But this time, Achyuta Preksha, along with Vasudev, had taken a pilgrimage to the south. They had already left. So the father, as quickly as possible, he went through the forest trying to catch up and find them. At a certain place, he found them. And he went before his son. And again, he was very angry. You leave this guru, you leave this ashram, you come with me right now. You cannot stay. And Madhva said that I will be a sannyasi. I will not come home. And the father became so angry, he said, if you do not come home, I will commit suicide. And Madhva took a piece of cloth and tore it and wrapped it around his waist like a sannyasi. He said, then I am a sannyasi now, commit suicide. And then his father began to cry and to weep and to fall on the ground. And he said, you are our only son, and we are old. We are old people. Parents were elderly. They had their son when they were very old. We need someone to take care of us. And we have no one but you. So Vasudev said, I will stay in the Brahmacharya ashram. I will not go home. But I will not take sannyas until you have another child. When you have another child, then you must give me your permission. So the father, this was the best he could get. So he went home and told the mother. And when he went home, he found out his wife was pregnant. And after some time, a son was born. And after the son was born, the little boy, Vasudev, he went to the house of his mother and father and said, now the son is born, now you give me permission to take sannyas. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. How could they do it? So he said, then I will tell you this. If you do not give me permission, you will never see my face again as long as you live. I will disappear into this world. If you give me permission, you will see me as a sannyasi from time to time. So they were thinking, better to see him as a sannyasi than to never see him. So they gave permission. And he was 12 years old. When he went back to Udupi, and in the temple of Ananteshwara, there was a wonderful festival that was being arranged for this glorious event. And so many of the Brahmins, and the sadhus, and the people of Udupi came to attend. And there Achyuta Preksha performed the ceremony. Vasudev circumambulated the deity of Narayan and then fell at the feet of his guru, and his guru bestowed upon him the saffron cloth and the danda. And on that day little Vasudev had shaved head, and he was given the name Purnapragya. And when everybody in Udupi saw this beautiful little 12-year-old child with the danda of a sannyasi, effulgent like the sun, everyone's heart was just flooded with emotions. And people were weeping and crying, thinking this is the most auspicious historical event that has ever taken place in this holy city of Udupi. And after some time, his guru sat down with him and started speaking one scripture which taught Advaita philosophy. And after listening, Madhvacharya was also his name because of his great devotion to Lord Madhava. He said, Gurudev, this scripture is not good. There are too many faults in it. And he started very humbly pointing out to his guru all the faults in the scripture. He said, we should not ever read the scripture again. We should forget this Advaita philosophy. And he presented it so nicely that he turned his guru into a Vaishnava. And then of course, his guru was already, but he had certain traditional ideas according to the time. And he would always be serving his guru, and he would always be worshipping the Lord, and he was always found reading Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the favorite scripture. And soon he began to completely defeat all impersonalistic conceptions and monistic ideas and establish the true Vaishnava philosophy that we are the eternal servants of the Lord and that the Lord is eternally a person with form and attributes. And beyond this material world and even beyond the Brahma-jyoti is the destination of Vaikuntha, where we can live eternally in the loving service of the Supreme Personality. And he was very much fond of singing and chanting and dancing in kirtan and discussing philosophy and narrating the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. And in this way he traveled to many, many provinces of India. His actual diksha took place in Badrikashram, where he personally received the Diksha Mantra and initiation from Vedavyas. And Vedavyas empowered him to translate his own literatures, the Vedas, with the proper essential Vaishnava commentaries. So on this holy day, we bow our heads to this great, great renunciate, Madhvacharya. He did not take to the renounced order like so many people today. Prabhupada said most people become sadhus in India not to solve the problem of birth and death, but to solve the problem of the hunger of their belly, like begging for rotis. You'll get more rotis if you have saffron than if you have another color. That is a fact. And he did not become a sannyasi to get prestige, to get popularity and disciples. He did not take to the renounced order of life for the purpose of becoming God, Namo Narayana, as the Mayavadis, they take sannyas with the idea that when I take sannyas, I become Narayana. But he took sannyas so that he could dedicate his life exclusively to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Vaishnavas. And in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tradition, we find that this is the principle of renunciation. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to extend to extend the spectrum by which he can give more and more mercy and compassion to others. He took sannyas to exclusively dedicate his body, his mind, his words, and his life to the the service of Guru, Krishna and the Vaishnavas. That is renunciation. And brahmachari life is a glorious opportunity to serve the Lord and to become purified. In brahmachari life there is no vow. A sannyasi vows and takes this great commitment to never again look back to this material world. It is said for a sannyasi to think of going back to materialistic life, what to speak of doing it, is like eating his own vomit. We've already got it out, we should never put it back in. A brahmachari is entitled to marry. A brahmachari is in a state of training in renunciation. In the Varnashram system, a person is brahmachari for 25 years, generally, just to learn the principles of simplicity, obedience, humility and surrender and devotion, and to learn the scriptures very nicely. And then at a certain stage, after getting that training, he can either enter into the Grihastha ashram, or he could remain in the brahmachari ashram. And at that junction, when he remains in the brahmachari ashram, he's actually preparing himself in the future, to be sannyas. So in our ashram, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath temple, the standard it is that those who are brahmacharis training in the mood of detachment and renunciation and surrender, in simplicity and humility, learning the Vedic scriptures very nicely, giving their exclusive devotion to the service of Guru and the Parampara, we keep them in the white color. And when they mature and they grow in their spiritual realization to a certain extent, and they're actually committed to not marry, they're committed to pursue a life of renunciation, committed to pursue toward that final vow of sannyas, then they are given saffron color. It is not a vow. But it is a determination and a commitment to keep ourselves always free from any of the entanglements of material life and absorb our consciousness exclusively in Krishna service. And Krishna service means Guru service. A brahmachari must be humble. A Vaishnava must be humble. It is the supreme most decoration which makes a devotee beautiful in the eyes of God. Humble behavior toward other devotees and before the Guru and God Himself. Today, Devananda Pandit Prabhu and Shankarananda Prabhu are desiring to make this determined commitment and accept the saffron dress of a brahmachari. And we are very happy and very pleased with their sincerity. And they have very much proved themselves, not only to their spiritual master, but also to the other senior Vaishnavas, that they are truly endeavoring for detachment simplicity, humility, and service. And they have received the blessings of all these senior assembled Vaishnavas. So on this auspicious day of victory, Dasera, we would like to give them the victorious flag of renunciation. When you wear the saffron color, you're like a walking flag. Flag of victory. Victory of detachment over attachment. Detachment from material life means attachment to Krishna. And attachment to material life means detachment from Krishna. So our renunciation is to be detached from all things which take our attention away from Krishna's service, and to be completely attached to serving Krishna, serving Guru, serving the devotees, and especially hearing the glories of the Lord and chanting His holy name. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Which is this? They're the same. Amanina manadena kiritam yasada. Wear this sloka always on the string of the holy name and make it your directing force in life. If anything will attract people to Krishna consciousness, it's the genuine humility of the devotees. Not only will this humility attract the conditioned souls to this movement, but it will also attract Krishna to empower us. If you want to be proud, then you should find yourself a nice wife who can always tell you how nice you are, and how handsome you are, and how successful you are. But after a few years, they just tell you the opposite. Usually. Not always. There are Krishna conscious exceptions. So you should be very humble, very simple. Keep very first class sadhana. You cannot remain a real brahmachari without first class sadhana. And you should learn the scriptures very carefully and preach that message to others. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants will carry you across this ocean of material existence. Devananda Pandit Prabhu was in the Navy for 15 years. But they could not carry him across the ocean of the he has taken shelter of the boat of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.